Our goal tonight is to bring together labor activists, anti-globalization protesters and activists, and activists from the community to talk about OCAP's proposed campaign of economic disruption in the fall. We hope to discuss the reasons why we think all of these activists need to be involved and need to become involved not only on the day and the days in October, but also organizing leading up to the fall. And we hope that tonight some people will be able to make a commitment to take on some work in building for the fall. We have three speakers here tonight. First, we're going to hear from Stefan Philippa, who's an organizer with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. Then we'll hear from Clarice, who is a member of the New Socialist Group, who is putting on the panel tonight. And she's also co-chair of the Women's Caucus of QB 3903, which is the local at York University. And finally, we'll hear from Jaggi Singh, who is an activist and organizer based in Montreal with CLAC, with the Anti-Capitalist Convergence. CLAC has officially endorsed OCAP's campaign of economic disruption in the fall, even though they are based in Montreal. So each speaker will speak for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll have an opportunity for discussion after that.
Yeah. As Jackie said, my name is Stefan Philippa. I'm an organizer with OCAP. When I think about the political project that lies before us, essentially the annihilation of the Harris government, and I think about what motivates me above and beyond ideals of justice and equality and freedom, is a hardcore, bone-cracking, insomnia-inducing rage. Rage first at what this government, the violence and damage it shoved down our throats, has done, and second, that we've allowed them to get away with it for the last 6 years. Now the record is clear, and I'm sure every one of us here can chant it like a sadistic mantra. The murder of Dudley George, cuts to welfare and the introduction of workfare slavery, the eradication of rent control, the freezing of the minimum wage, the slashing of health care and education, the unrelenting assaults on public sector unions, the forced amalgamation of municipalities, the privatization of public services, the slashing of all affordable housing, believe it, the list goes on, the 60-hour work week, the posting of union decertification in every workplace in the province, mandatory drug and literacy testing for welfare recipients, the Walkerton tragedy and cuts to the Ministry of the Environment, private school tax credits for the wealthy, the removal of anti-scab legislation, changes to the Labor Relations Act that would make it harder to form and keep a union, and, my favorite of all, workplace safety inspections conducted over the phone. They might as well get psychics to do it. Now, that isn't to say that our adversary hasn't been strong, or over the years we haven't put up a good, noble, honorable fight. Those are facts. But what is also a fact is that we have yet been unable to mount a massive, grassroots, political offensive campaign that will actually challenge the Harris agenda, that will actually force the Harris agenda to stop in its tracks, meet and look at our demands, or face a population in all-out revolt, a population that simply refuses to be governed by a pack of conniving, thieving, murdering criminals. Now, I think there is one reason, essentially, that such a movement has not taken shape. Now, it's not for lack of widespread hatred for this government. Of that, there can be no doubt. And it is no lack of power in our parts. There's 6 million people in this province that could actually fight the Harris government. But I think the simple fact is that after the demoralization of the days of action, no one, no group or individual, was able to pose or put forward a strategy and set of tactics that had a chance at succeeding. Now, instead, what we were faced with was the poverty activists stuck in their own ghetto, literally and figuratively left at the barricades alone, the public sector unions rebuffing and limping from one attack to another, and the private sector, well, the so-called muscle of the private sector unions, growing weak and flaccid as it waited with crossed fingers for the next election. But since then, the political tide has changed. And I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that OCAP and the rise of the anti-globalization movement has had a key role to play in that change. OCAP's refusal to give up the fight that was started in 1995 and the anti-globalization movement's overwhelming success and ability to bring together so many constituencies and issues fill the streets and actually challenge the viability of the global capitalist agenda. OCAP's call to action is basically this. We call for a massive, coordinated, rank-and-file, street-level activist-led campaign of economic disruption against the Harris government. A campaign that will challenge and attack the unhindered ability of the capitalist class as it basks like a lazy tourist under Harris's favorable rule. We are proposing that we put our moral appeals for mercy away. We are proposing that we forever stop begging from a government that has never once cocked an ear in our direction. And we take on a government that has had one clear agenda all along, to create what is known as a favorable business and profit-making environment. Harris doesn't do protests. And now, brothers and sisters, neither do we. If this government feels like it is appropriate and acceptable to impoverish and attack Ontario's poor and working population, then I say it is more acceptable for Ontario's poor and working population to attack the rich and wealthy if we want to get rid of Harris. We must consolidate our forces across sectoral and geographic lines. We must fortify our organizations. We must build our skills. We must stockpile our resources. And with unwavering resolve, launch an attack not yet seen on the bastards that have been raking it in hand over fist while our brothers and sisters have died on the streets of the city. And let me just say that once we start this attack, we cannot stop halfway. We are not in the business of firing warning shots or making empty political threats. If there is one lesson to be learned from the rise of the anti-globalization movement, it is that Harris is only the local attack dog for the global corporate agenda that basically seeks to eradicate every last vestige of public control over society, every last barrier to their ability to make profit. Well, having said that, I want people here to imagine a very real possibility that as our campaign builds and grows and gains momentum, and that as we begin to destabilize Harris's stranglehold over the province, that all the eyes of the world will look to what I like to call the Battle of Ontario and make a choice and actually say, perhaps it is a better strategy to beat back local governments that would put in place international policies of free trade and corporatization rather than protest the high-profile spectacles of international free trade meetings. We are not yet locked into the high-speed collision course with democratic oblivion that the Mike Harrises of the world have put in place for us. OCAP's local struggle against Harris and the anti-globalization struggle against international inequality and injustice have made the bosses take note, albeit in somewhat despicable and deplorable ways, as exemplified by this no-brainer question that The Economist asks. Does inequality matter? I'd like to see them actually go to the people of Akwesasne and ask that question, or the people of the Maquiladoras, the workers in the Maquiladoras, or the hundreds of homeless people that sleep in the rain at the foot of Queen's Park. Of course, The Economist goes on to say that the rich of today's world are a lot different from the greedy and callous rich of yesterday's world. That in fact, all we have to do is ask them nicely, and they would be more than willing to redistribute some of their wealth. That is, the 400-plus billionaires and the 7 million-plus millionaires of the world. At this point, OCAP has been able to start to build a common front, a united front against Harris. We have more than 200 union locals, anti-globalization formations, student groups, anti-poverty organizations signed on, all with the orientation that our begging days are over. We will not ever stoop to the indignity of begging a single penny from the parasites of this world. Our aim is to drive Mike Harris and his buffoons from office and, at the same time, make the fear of God cross the faces of the world's 400 billionaires and 7 million plus millionaires. Now, if we are serious about the task at hand, we have to ask ourselves and we have to be able to answer some fundamental questions. How do we include and mobilize the maximum number of people? And once mobilized, how do we move from the idea of protest to actual acts of resistance? How do we move beyond the violence, non-violence debate and move to a new level of tactical coordination in our demonstrations and our actions? How do we protect ourselves from state repression? And how do we make the temporary fight against Harris the permanent fight against global capitalism? These are questions that can be easily answered if we are committed to the objective at hand. This province belongs to us. Its streetlights, its roadways, its waterways, its apartment buildings, its highways, the police belong to us. Its public services belong to us. We build its cars and we serve its food. This province is ours. And we go to bed each night not knowing what indignity we'll suffer the next day. If these things are taken away from us, we are the only ones who can take them back. On October the 16th, we will take back the financial district of Toronto. And after October 16th, there will not be one industry in this province that is unaffected by our campaign of economic disruption. Everybody knows what we did to Jim Flaherty last month. Not many people know that a little more than a week afterwards, our allies in the Mohawk Nation of Tayananega were able to park a school bus in front of the Skyway Bridge and turn away more than 250 transport trucks that shut down the St. Mary's cement factory. And not many people know that the CAW activists in Windsor are planning on setting up a decisive confrontation with the temporary labor agencies down there that are driving down wages. They are in fact going to set up a hiring hall to challenge the predominance of the temporary service agencies and picket and target any business that chooses to hire from low-wage temporary agencies and make them hire from an OCAP-based union hiring hall. As well, Guelph has very good plans. I won't disclose them right now because they may not come to fruition if I say them publicly, but I would say that the Labour Council there had an excellent meeting. Everybody is psyched in Guelph about the campaign. As well, on the campus, and this is a sign of things to come, the faculty members and associations have linked up with the blue-collar workers of the university, have linked up with the students to form a formation to join the campaign. And I told this story once before, and I sort of promised myself I wouldn't, but I think it's important because not everybody here has heard it. And I think it sort of clarifies what's actually been going on in this province and why we actually have to fight back. The other day, last week, a Native woman came to the OCAP office asking for some change so she can take the streetcar somewhere. I actually didn't have change at the time. She asked me again and persisted and kept asking me, and I told her I didn't. I showed her my wallet. And she said, well, if you don't have any change, do you have a razor blade? And this woman was weather-beaten from years of homelessness and alcoholism. And we, as Harris has taken power and as Harris has implemented these policies that I outlined before, that is happening every day at the OCAP offices. And if we had 10 OCAP offices, that would happen every day at all 10 of our OCAP offices. If we had 100 OCAP offices, that would happen every day at 100 OCAP offices. We have to realize that who we're fighting for. We are fighting for her. We are fighting for the people of Akwesasne. We are fighting for the 100 homeless people sleeping in front of Queen's Park. And if we're going to fight, God damn it, just fucking fight to win, okay? Thanks.